It's good to see young men giving their lives to the Lord. You know, it's a seed that's planted, and it's just the beginning of things. It is not the end of things, it is the very beginning. New life in Christ. And it's so important that we remember that God is on the throne. And no matter how you feel, God is not going to change. The word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Could I just ask you, if you would do me a favour with the computer, if you could just put me up one of the songs that we sang, Thank You, O My Father. If you could just pop that up for me, please. As we were worshipping and just giving thanks unto God, a phrase came into my mind. This is not the message yet. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming my vocal cords up. I've been a bit rusty this last few days. But this quotation came into my mind. I have a dream. Can you wait? Do you know? Does anybody know apart from Grace? Who said that? Thank you. Right, yeah. Martin Luther King. Yes. You know that great statement, I have a dream. Well, guess what? God gave me a dream. And I have a dream. And I expect and I believe that God will fulfill it. It's not about me, it's about Him. And that He will fulfill all things. Praise His wonderful name. Can you go to that verse where it says, just move on through the next verses. I just want to just... And again. And again. Right, that one. That's the one I want. It's a great verse, isn't it? When I stand in glory, I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Well, let me say this. It's too late then. It's a nice rhyming verse, don't get me wrong. And I know the meaning, what it means. There's a truth in it. But what we have to remember is that it's not when we stand in glory, but it's when I stand right now before the people. And you and I represent Jesus Christ. And when I stand in the presence of other people, you know, Peter, and again, this is not the message yet, we're just warming up. Stephen, should I say, when he was being stoned for his faith, he stood there, and it says, and he saw heaven opened. And you know, when the people looked at Peter, they saw the glory of God on his face. Stephen, thank you. Yeah. I'll do that. He saw Stephen was there, and the glory of God was on his face. When Moses went into the tent of the tabernacle to meet with God, he came out and the people said, oh, Moses, please, cover your face. Yeah. Why? Because the glory of the presence of God was upon him. And I honestly believe that for this day, for this generation, for the church today, people need to move into the very presence of God. And to come into contact with the glory of God. So that when people meet you and they look at you, they say, there's something different about you. What is it? And people will recognize that you've been with Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He's with us constantly. And so we can have this constant conversation day by day with the Lord Jesus. I have a dream. Doncaster's never really seen a revival. It is time. It is our time. It is time for God to move. And so we as the church and the people of God need to stand in the holy place and catch the glory of the Lord. And then let that glory begin to flow out through our lives and begin to touch and to change people's lives. Like Daniel's testimony, a life changed. It didn't change overnight, but it was through a perseverance. It was through a hunger. And it was for a thirsting after the things of God. And if you have a desire for the things of God, then nothing will be able to take it away from you. You see, desire is stronger than your will. How do we know that? We see this every Friday night when we do Teen Challenge. A drug addict comes in and he says, I'm going to get off my drugs. An alcoholic comes in and says, I'm going to give up all my alcohol. I've finished with it. I'm done. That's from now. That's it. That's a choice, a will. I can do it by my willpower. You see them a few weeks later, they're still on drugs, they're still on alcohol. What happened? The desire was more powerful than my own will. What's your desire? You see, I didn't ask you what your will is. What's your desire? What is your desire? And you see, desire is passion. Oh, I'm passionate. I'm passionate. Still at my age, I'm still passionate for the things of God. You see, there are promises in our lives that yet God has to fulfill. And I am passionately waiting for that fulfillment of the promise. Remember when Jesus was born? Still haven't got to the message yet. When Jesus was born. And they took him to the temple. And the priest there. Now I've seen it. Simeon, now I've seen it. I've seen the promise of God. I lived for it. God said I was going to see it. And he said, now I've seen it. I can leave in peace. Because I know it's come to pass. Stir up those desires for the things of the kingdom of God. Don't let the enemy quench them. Don't let him knock you off course. But stay focused. There'll be some bumps in the roadway. There'll be some holes. There'll be some issues. There'll be some tight corners at times, it feels like. There'll be challenges. But he will give you the strength to go through. But it's keeping hold of God. It's keeping hold on that faith and that letting that desire begin to function within you. And see God move in power. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's one of the priesthood. He's one of the religious leaders. And he says in verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night. He didn't want to be seen. After all, he was quite high up, and what would people say about him? Don't hide your Christian faith. Don't hide your love for the Lord Jesus. Let it shine. let it shine. You've nothing to be embarrassed about. And he came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you have come from God. And no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, or as the old King James says, verily, verily, I say unto you. What does that mean? Sit up and take notice. When it's repeated twice, when it says truly, truly, or verily, verily, it means, hey, take note, come on. Catch this one. Get hold of it. This is important. And this is important. This next bit is very important. And Jesus says to him, truly, truly, verily, verily, listen, listen. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he's a religious leader. He knows the law, back to front, inside out, upside down. He can quote it, stood on his head maybe. He's been to the best school. He studied the law. And in verse 4, Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Well, it'd be some pain for the mother. It was painful enough the first time. Second time round is going to be even worse, the size you are. And Jesus answered him and said, listen, listen, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And you and I, when we become born again of the Spirit of God, we begin then to be able to have an open line, an open communication with God. For God is Spirit. And so we communicate with God through our spirit. You see, when God created us in the beginning, he created a spirit, soul, and body. The problem is today, when Adam sinned, it became body, soul, and spirit. We reversed the order. But today, God is reversing the order through Jesus Christ. Spirit first. You know, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know, as we worship him, and as we minister to him in the spirit, he ministers back to us in the spirit. And the word of God that is written down for us to see, when the Holy Spirit breathes over it and opens it and pulls back the veil, he reveals to us the mysteries of the things of the kingdom of God. To the wise and to the foolish, they read this book and say, there is no God. I keep getting tweets from the Dawkins guy. Oh man. Times he presses my buttons and I reply. Doubts and denies that there is a God. Well, I tell you today, for 50 years, I've seen God moving in power in different ways. And I'm not going to give up now. I've come too far. Been doing this too long. You'll not convince me that God is dead or that God never ever existed. I've seen blind eyes opened. I've seen deaf ears unstopped. I've seen cancers destroyed and bodies made new. This is the Jesus that I live and serve. This is the Jesus that I worship. You must be born again. Some of you might be saying, why are you preaching this today, Andrew? I am born again. Okay, there's a bit at the end I want to tell you. So you'll have to wait for that bit. Verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, "Are you a teacher in Israel, and you don't understand these things?" He was baffled. You see, you can't find God with your intellect. You can't find God in university. Well, you might do if you go to the Christian Union, if there is one. Maybe they'll introduce you to Jesus. But he's not God, he's not intellect. You find him by faith in Christ Jesus. They say, "Oh, my faith's so weak." Or some folks say, "I have no faith at all." I don't believe that. There is nobody in this building today that does not have some measure of faith. I can prove it. How many of you came in this building and sat down, and before you sat down tested the chair to see whether it would hold your weight? You just sat on a chair, didn't you? You didn't even think about it, did you? No. Blind faith. How many of you, when you go home tonight, it will be dark, you'll walk in the house and the first thing you'll do is you'll reach for the light switch and you flick it. And you are not surprised when the light comes on, are you? No, you are only surprised when it doesn't come on. Oh, what went wrong? You see, we operate constantly in some measure of faith. Yes? No? You jump in your car and everybody gets in and they expect it to start, don't they? Off it goes. The moment it doesn't start, what went wrong? It's never done this before. So all the time we operate our lives in faith. So we need to let our faith rise more and operate in the things of spiritual faith. Operating in the things of God. In the same chapter, in verse 16, it says, God loved the world. He loved the people of the world so much that he gave up his only Son. And that every person who commits himself to Jesus, what does that commit mean? It means to make a vow. To make a vow. To make a promise. That's what it means. Commit. Today in the world, commitment is something that is treated just lightheartedly. Grace and I made a commitment on the 1st of July 1972. Before 150, 200 people. But most importantly, before God. Yeah. To love one another. Amen. For better, for worse, yeah. For richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. Amen. Until she gets fed up with me.
No.
No. Until death.
Amen.
Do us part. Yeah. And she's out to look after me when I've been sick. I've looked after her when she's been sick, which is very rare. In fact, for both of us, thankfully. But it's a vow that we've made, that we've kept, and we've worked at that vow.
Amen. Yeah.
We've faced our challenges. We face challenges of getting to know one another, understanding one another, face challenges financially and emotionally. But we made a vow, we made a promise, we made a commitment. And the Bible says every person who gives himself to Jesus, who makes a vow to follow, who commits to follow the Lord Jesus and keeps it, will not be destroyed. Instead, that person will have eternal life. Praise God. I have a promise in my life for eternal life. God is so good to us. So many people say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. No. I'm just changing suits. I'm just exchanging my earthly suits. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Oh, he said, but to die is gain. There's something even better than what I've got now waiting for me when I cross over. God is so good. Verse 17 says, God did not send His Son into the world to judge it. God sent Jesus so that the people of the world could be saved through Jesus Christ. The person who commits, who makes that vow to follow the Lord Jesus and keeps it, is not condemned. But the one who does not commit himself to Jesus has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's only Son. God today does not have a counter plan. God has made a commitment through Jesus Christ to you and to me. God does not have another way of doing this. God is not going to bail out on His vow, on His love, on His desire towards mankind. God is committed totally to this. He's committed everything. His only Son, His heir, He's committed everything through that eternal sacrifice in Jesus Christ, because He wants you and I to know Him, to have that deep relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him as a loving father, as a loving brother, as a friend, but most of all, as God, the Creator of all things, who is pure and holy and perfect. And some of us, you know, we could say, well, you didn't have a father like my father. We know. Or a mother like my mother. You didn't have parents like my parents. You didn't have the start that I had. It's not how we start. It's how we finish. It's a new beginning in Christ Jesus. And we begin to run the race. We begin to walk the walk. We have a desire to hold the hand of God and to move forward into His presence. And as we do that, we see God beginning to change our circumstances and situations. Grace and I, so often we've seen God move in miraculous ways. It's like, how did He know? How did He do it? There's been times when even before we've prayed about something, God has already gone before us and done it all. And when we arrive there, it's like, wow. How did that happen? Because the Bible tells us that God has always got His eye upon us. You might think, well, there's all these millions and millions of people in the earth, and yet He knows what's going on in your life. And even if Daniel had walked in earlier on his own, I might have been, oh, Michael, you've changed your hair. I could have been. You see, you've even nearly got the same glasses. You know, just enough to fool somebody. slightly, just to throw them off. You see, you couldn't do that to God. I remember we have a friend who has two identical twins, two boys. Could never get it right. Who was who? Whether they did it on a purpose, they were so absolutely alike. Helen knew them, didn't you? I don't know if you ever got Mark, yeah, Mark and Ben. Yeah, as they got older, but in their early days as young boys, they were just who's who today? You know, they could just fool you if they wanted to. But let me tell you this, God knows. God made you. God formed you in your mother's womb. God placed within you eternity. Now you need to live for that eternity. You need to live to the plan that God has for you, because the plan that God has for you is far better than the plan that you're trying to follow through. Yeah, but God, can't we do it this way? No. Because you don't know what is around that bend. You don't know what is down that road that you want to go. I have a plan. A plan to bless you, to do you good. And all God wants is that commitment from you and I. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. In one translation it says, in the International English Bible it says, "We want each one of you to continue doing your best until the very end. Then you can make sure of your hope." What is your hope today? Do you hope to see God moving in your life? Do you hope to see God using you effectively to touch and change people's lives? Do you hope to see the power of God working through you and through your family? God does. You might say, "Well, who am I? I'm nobody really." Well, if you say that, you're actually the very candidate that God is looking for. God is looking for nobodies. He's looking for those that appear to be insignificant. If you remember King David, Gideon, the least of the least, the smallest of the smallest, and yet God said, "You're the one I'm looking for. You're the one I need." Verse 12 says, and this is Paul writing to the church, he says, "We don't want you to become lazy. Be like people who will receive promises through faith and patience." Don't become lazy. Daniel, I think it's gone off. Has it gone off? Has the sound not working? Just try. No. Sound's gone off in Nepalese. Don't become lazy. It's so easy to sit back and say, "Well, I'm saved now. I'm okay." God's looking for people with a passion. He's looking for workers. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 3, it says there of one of the churches, chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, to the angel of the church in verse 14, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, Grace and I went to did the seven churches in Revelation. Went by car. Right down into Turkey. Went to look for Laodicea. There's nothing there. It's totally barren. Everything's knocked down. Everything's desolate and gone. And when you read this scripture, it begins to show you. He says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." God just said, I don't done away with them. Today, God wants people with a passion. He wants people with a desire. He wants people who will press into the things of God. He wants that desire to press you and to drive you into the presence and to the arms of God, so that as you and I reach out to others, we'll touch lives and see lives changed. Matthew chapter 7 says this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. We'll start at verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? And Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The church today needs to begin to practice holiness. It's great to worship God, but we need to show ourselves approved. We need to spend time studying the Word. The Word of God needs to be living and breathing and active within our very lives. You might say, well, Andrew, you're asking a lot of us. I'm not asking anything of you that the Bible doesn't ask, that the Lord Jesus doesn't ask. You see, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, you must be born again. You've got to give everything up and give everything to me. It's a total surrender to Christ. I've heard so many times people say to me, I can't do that. Can't do it. And I must say this. For me, it was the best thing that I ever did. When I was 16 years old, I gave my life to Christ. And I don't regret it. Yeah, I've had some challenges. Definitely. Has there been days when I wanted to quit? Yes. Did I quit? No. Why? Because inside me there was a driving desire and passion for the vision and for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And just a few little bumps and a few diversions in the road were not going to stop me.
Amen.
No, now and again Grace will say to me, cool your jets. Yes. I run twin turbos. I have such a desire for God to move. There are men and women and children out there going to a lost eternity. They are living and dying without Christ in their lives. They're living with no real answers to life circumstances and situations. And right now, here, today, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17... 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 messengers.
Yes.
Today. 22 messengers. Who can change somebody's life?
Amen.
We have a message. We have a hope to carry. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you." There's a mansion waiting. There's a place being prepared, and He's been doing it for the last 2,000 years. Wow, what a place it's going to be. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm a sinner. Well, I was a sinner. But God saved me. He set me free. He made me a saint. Now I'm a saint who sins occasionally. Then I have to ask God to forgive me. "Lord, I'm sorry. I slipped up. I made a mistake." But you see, in one sense, Jesus made it so tough. He said, "If you think it, you've already done it." How many times? You know, the word says, take captive every thought. And we have to do in this day and generation.
Yeah.
You're watching TV and all of a sudden an advert comes on. You know, you sat there and you sat there in limp mode. And suddenly, boom, this advert comes in. Whoa, where did that come from? Or something that you're watching and I never expected that. And you have to cleanse your mind. Take every thought captive. One of my daily reading books, and I opened this one up today for March the 4th. And the title is Regain Your Zeal.
Amen.
Regain Your Zeal. And one of the scriptures he uses from Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Be ye not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises."
Amen.
Abraham by faith inherited the promise.
Amen.
He never saw it in the natural, but in the things of the Spirit he saw it and inherited it. You and I are part of that promise. And there's a prayer that he puts into this book here. He says, "My prayer for today, Lord, help me understand how totally unacceptable it is for me to lose my passion, momentum, and desire. I ask you to forgive me for allowing any hint of laziness to operate in my life. Today, I repent and deliberately turn from laziness. Holy Spirit, I turn to you now and ask you to stir and reignite the fire in my heart. Please help me regain the zeal and the thrust and the fire I once possessed. Help me to keep that fire burning at this time, never to lose it again. I pray this in Jesus' name. I got to admit, this cold weather that we've just been having and that, you know, you can feel like, oh my, you know, just beginning to drag your feet. And I have to take hold of myself and deal with myself and stir that fire up. You know, when you, the old coal fires, some of us remember the old coal fires. You had a poker by the side of the fire, didn't you? And you had it there for a very good reason. When the fire started to go out, you took the poker and you stuck it into the fire and you began to shake it and stir it and you got rid of everything that was dead. Hello? Get rid of everything in our lives that is dead. Dead wood. Historical things that we don't need them anymore. And then you put fresh fuel on them. And ignite, and the fire begins to ignite. And then you have to begin to stand back and say, and everybody begins to feel it. But it needed the poker. If I have to be the poker today, if I have to be the poker today and stir the fire, then so be it. And then when you're done with the poker, you just stick it on one side and leave it and you forget all about it and you just enjoy the fire, don't you? Stir the fire. Get rid of that dead wood. Get rid of those things that are hindering you. Separate yourself from those things. Let the zeal of the Lord come upon you and begin to burn with a fire. Don't look back. Don't become a pillar of salt like Lot's wife, but look forward to the things of God. I press to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us press on. Let us press through. And today, some of us may need to pray that prayer, Lord, help me understand how to totally, unacceptably it is for me to lose my passion, my momentum. I ask you to forgive me for allowing any laziness to operate in my life. Probably a good prayer for us to just ponder on for a moment. Just bow our heads and just close our eyes for a moment. And just ponder on those words. I ask you to forgive me for allowing any hint of laziness to operate in my life. Some of us might want to say, well, I'm getting old now, and you know, it's time the young ones took up the cause. Well, it is time the young ones took up the cause, but that doesn't mean that you old ones can put it down. It means continue to press on. Be mothers and fathers to these young ones. Encourage them. I ask you to forgive me for allowing any hint of laziness to operate in my life. Today I repent and deliberately turn from laziness. Holy Spirit, I turn to you now and ask you to stir, reignite the fire in my heart. Please help me regain the zeal, the thrust, and the fire I once possessed. Help me to keep that fire burning this time, never to lose it again. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. While every head's bowed and every eye is closed, can I just say, if there's anybody here that's prayed that prayer, Can you just raise your hand? We're going to believe God is going to do something great in your life. Let the zeal of the Lord consume you. Amen. Father, we just pray that as we are in your presence and we listen to your word, O God. Father, I pray that, Lord, the fire, the zeal, the commitment and love for you will burn even stronger than before. And Lord, as that furnace in the days of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was heated 7 times hotter, and Lord, let it burn within us. For Lord, the only thing that will be destroyed in our lives will be the bondages that hold us back from moving in you. And Father, I pray, Lord, there shall be a burning within us, an igniting, O God, of your power and of your presence and of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that in each and every one of us you'd raise a courage and boldness to a spirit within each and every one of us. That, Lord, that we will be the messengers. We will be the light in a dark place. We will be the salt to our nation. Father, I just ask all these things that in that precious name, that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will be glorified and magnified. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let the zeal of the Lord stir you up. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. I don't know if anybody here is unwell today and you feel you just like prayer. If you do,